Welcome to the Negotiations Ninja podcast, where we develop and deliver the most engaging negotiation content and training in the world. We host negotiation experts, business people, and entrepreneurs, and discuss what works, what doesn't work, and how we can improve our negotiation skills. When you're trying to raise money for your new business, you're trying to seek venture capital dollars, you're trying to find angel investors, it's always best to learn from people who have done it before. And that is exactly why we have Alex Yakubovich and Stan Garber on the show today. They are the incredible founders, or part of a group of founders, of the amazing company called Scout RFP. They've had an incredible journey, and this is the second company that they've raised venture capital for. They had a successful exit on their first one. This show is all about how to not screw up raising money. I highly recommend that you take notes. It was a great conversation. I really enjoyed it. I encourage you to reach out to Alex and Stan. They're awesome guys, and they can definitely help you with questions that you might have around raising VC money. Thank you so much and enjoy. Hello, Stan. Hello, Alex. Finally, nice to get you on. We've had connection issues, we've had scheduling issues, but now we are here.
Great to be here.
Yeah, it's awesome having you guys on, man. I mean, I've been following the fantastic Scout RFP journey for so long now. I've been to your two Spark events, enjoyed them thoroughly. I thought it was fantastic, especially the most recent one. You guys stepped up your game in a big, big way. So I think you guys are on to some great things, and you've raised a ton of money and done a ton of great things. For those people who are listening that maybe don't know a lot about you, which is crazy because they must have been living under a rock, tell us more about the journey that you've been on, just sort of like a brief history, and where you guys are right now, and what happened. Like, I mean, you raised a bunch of money, and now what, basically?
Yeah, I can kick it off here. Great to be on the show. Avid listeners, always appreciate the time. So, and I guess maybe I'll sort of start off just a little bit on how Scout gets started out.
Yeah, perfect.
Background, and just sort of, and Alex, jump in here at any point. But in essence, Scout started, we're a little more than 5 years old now. And it happened in more of a, in sort of a serendipitous way, in how we had another company previously to this that did a different type of technology, restaurant ordering for consumers. If you order your food online at any point. And when Alex and I built this that company in the hot tech bed of Cleveland, Ohio, we in essence filled out a lot of RFPs. We went through the buying process with a lot of big organization, IT organizations in these big restaurants, and we filled out a lot of RFPs via email, Excel, Word. And at the same time, we also filled out a lot through some applications that were not so easy to use at the time. And our background is building software for massive consumer adoption. Some things that are really highly easy to use. So you know this, if you ordered food online on a Friday at 5 o'clock and it wasn't simple, pretty much done. You're going to move on to somewhere else, wherever you can. And so through this, we got introduced to the world of sourcing and procurement. And we spent some time learning that industry, and what we found out categorically, especially on the strategic sourcing side, innovation hasn't been around there for well over a decade from a technology standpoint.
Totally.
Lots of companies that do it, but Alex and I were blown away at the amount of shelfware that was really in place in the space.
Right. Yep.
Not a lot of companies were using, even if they bought the software, very few adopted it within organizations. All the data would still be fragmented in different places. And a lot of it came down to, when we did some question and answer with folks, was it was just easier to send an email. Stakeholders would never be part of those conversations, those tool sets. And a lot of the time, people equated it to, I just need to do a few simple things, and I'm jumping into the cockpit of the 747, and I just need to get halfway, you know, I just need to get around the city.
Yeah.
And you know, you need something elegant, simple, something that folks will start using. And when you think about every other industry, there's been this wave of brand new tech, consumerization of the enterprise is becoming a general conversation. And in sourcing, just it wasn't the case. And even individuals from like talent pool have completely changed over the last 5 years. We just weren't seeing that a while back when we started Scout in particular. And our vision really became when we launched the company and we focused just day one was Scout RP, literally in the name. Now it's a much bigger platform. But it was the idea of let's take something that's really being done offline, simplify it to its core elements. And if you can take the US tax code in TurboTax and simplify it that, there's no reason why you can't take the simplicity of an RFP and make it really, really simple for the buyers, or the procurement individuals, the stakeholders in the conversations, and the actual suppliers. And put it in one, and our three guiding principles really became high adoption, time to value, and an enjoyable experience. And that's how we started Scout day one. And that's when Alex and I we recruited a few folks over, put a prototype together, the simplest version, got it out to a few folks 5 years ago, and everybody was like, I would use this, I would pay for this. And to us, that was like, all right, there's market validation, let's go do that. So at that point, Alex and I funded the company for a little while ourselves. And at that point, we took on some angel funding from VCs here in San Francisco. At that time, it was NEA, Google. And we decided to leave Cleveland, come out to San Francisco, and set up shop here.
And you guys have been rocking it ever since.
We have been. That's right.
I love that you claimed it. We have. You're right. You're right, Mark. We have been rocking it ever since. And you guys have done such a great job. One of the things that you mentioned on user adoption, and I think one of the big benefits that you guys have over a lot of other shops is just the elegance and simplicity of the tool. I think that's the thing that I love most about it. The user experience is great because you don't have to enter... everyone will know about the software that I'm talking about when I say T codes. You don't have to enter a bunch of T codes or to get to the right screen. It's just super quick, super easy to use. Was that a huge focus for you guys? Just trying to make it like really, really simple.
It was right from the beginning. And even a little bit further back from that, what we did, to Stan's point, before we did anything, we went out and we spoke to hundreds of people in procurement. And it wasn't that we had the thesis of what of usability is the key there. It's just when we went back and spoke to all of these procurement people, we were very passionate of putting out a product that people would love. And so the one thing that really seemed to be missing from the market wasn't any kind of functionality. At first, we thought maybe there was functionality that was missing and that's why people weren't using the products. But people just wanted something really elegant and usable and something that actually made their lives easier. And so that really resonated with Stan and I because, as Stan said, we came from the consumer side of design. And so we said we could totally do this. And so from the very beginning, that was a big part of our thesis.
Amazing. And I mean, you've been so successful. Recently, you went out for more funding and you raised a ton of money. Who came into the Scout RFP party?
And I love that you classify it as a ton of money. You said that a couple of times now. It's all relative. So, but I mean, we're
surrounded around Salesforce, DocuSign, New Relic, literally in our building. Every giant company around Workday, you name it.
Right, exactly. So The last round was led by Scale Venture Partners, and we had strong participation from all the leads from our last few rounds, who all still very much believe in the business and are supporting us all the way. And then we had, as well as Workday and Salesforce, participate in that last round as well, which for us is great because they're...
It's got to be a massive confidence boost when someone like Salesforce and Workday say they're in.
It is indeed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Great validation across the board.
Given that the audience here is like super into negotiations and really into procurement, and knowing your story sort of from the outside in, one of the things that I often get asked about from people who want to become entrepreneurs or maybe want to start their own companies when they're trying to raise money, what's that process like trying to raise money? And you got your pitch deck together and you're trying to pitch to a bunch of different people. How do you guys go through that beginning to end?
So that's a big question. I'm not sure we'll be able to answer every aspect.
Yeah, maybe just Cole's notes.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's two sides of it, Alex. You can get into a little bit on like the actual systematic approach of it, but there's also a lot that also happens behind the scenes before you even talk to investors. And a lot has to do with your track record, who you're introduced, how you're set up. Like there's a lot that will go along with that side of it. Yeah. And then actually getting ready to pitch and going through that, there's a whole other side of it.
Yeah, that stands exactly right. Somebody explained it to us a long time ago that it's a lot like dating, which is actually very similar because you are meeting a lot of different people, but so much of it has to do with, you know, like if knowing who you are and the type of company that you want to be and having that preparation ahead of time to really put your best foot forward. Just because when you do meet with folks, it is kind of like going on that first date. But then the key is to also find a partner that you really click with, and it'll turn out for the best. But the big thing is to get out there and get rejected a lot of times, like I did.
I love that. That's the collaboration on dating that you made. That's the connection. Yeah, we want to get rejected a lot. Everything was going great, and then eventually we've met the right person. And
no, I mean it's so much like that. You know, I don't know if you're married. I am, but like the thing is, you go out and you meet a lot of different people, and
yeah.
It will happen. You know, but it has to be a person who really appreciates the company for what it is and the vision for what it is and really shares that same vision. And you have to be real with the potential investors that you're meeting with. I think where a lot of entrepreneurs don't do as good of a job is they show up to the meetings and they try to portray the company as or themselves as more than what they are.
Yeah, something that they're not.
Exactly. And professional investors see right through that, and yeah. They want to work with genuine people and genuine founders who want to do great things for users, especially in the very early stages. You're getting evaluated on, is this a genuine person who really wants to deliver something great to the universe? And yeah. If you are, and you have, you've done a lot of work up to that point, and you have good trajectory in your career, they'll believe in you and they'll back you.
What do you think is the most important part about raising money?
I think it's this is a big question because there's a number of things that are pretty important. The one thing that I think we did really right in the very beginning is we just said from the beginning, it was about relationships.
Yeah.
And so we started with that mindset. And so the first thing is you're not going to show up on that first meeting and expect them to write you a big check.
Yeah.
So we went out to meet as many investors as we could, even before we really started raising. And we really sought to
almost a year in advance before mm-hmm. we actually asked for a dollar.
So you guys are developing relationships before you even ask for anything.
Exactly. And so often, if you're not asking for money, you know, we got great advice from a lot of investors, and a lot of investors up front told us like, look, we're just not going to be interested until X point. And so we saved those relationships for later. And some of them ended up investing later on down the road, which was really great. But we built the relationships on trust and progress and time.
When you're building those relationships, how does the conversation go? Hey, I'm reaching out because I want advice because eventually I'm going to be raising money.
I mean, it's no different than even, I guess, treat this no different than when you think about like when you're not ready to buy, right? You're talking to prospect, you're talking to customers, you're sort of feeling out the market.
Yeah.
It's all about constant progress and updates and just sort of where you are. So first conversation is a very getting to know you conversation. Where, right. What are you thinking about, your background, et cetera? Conversation number two. A few months passes, what traction have you made? What things have you accomplished? Any pilot customers, any product development? You know, update number three, same idea. And then update number five, they're just like, okay, it seems like you've done a lot of updates and a lot of progress in the year that we've been talking. And you're more or less giving them the sense that who you are as an individual and that what you'll say a year ago, you're delivering on.
Yeah.
Through those facts.
And so you're building trust.
You're building trust. That's exactly right. And as time goes on, when you're like, hey, we've been talking for the last year and a half. We're thinking about doing the fundraise. often the conversation, or it'll even happen where they're like, when are you thinking about your fundraise? We might be interested now.
Yeah.
Because we'll see that and it'll happen. But it requires planning, right? Which is very much so no different than how a sourcing individual functions, right? They know the contract's coming up in 90 days or even a year from now. It's like, all right, let me start brainstorming how we're going to tackle this, how we're going to go through that.
Totally.
It works in the exact same fashion.
Right on. Getting sort of to the emotional aspect of things, I mean, you guys have built an amazing business. When you're raising funds, you're giving up equity to a large extent. How does that feel emotionally, giving up equity to like your baby?
So this is a personal question for every founder. We, Stan and I, were always out to build something really substantial. And for us, it was really about making sure that we had enough funding with the right partners to get to each of the next stages with some padding, you know, just to make sure that we, if there was a hiccup or anything, we had that available. So we never really worried too much about the equity hit. I know a lot of founders get really wrapped around the axle on that. And we took it from the perspective of we want to build something great. And I think,
yeah,
that's really served us pretty well.
100%. The other part that's a little bit, I would say, is in like first time founders raising from angels to more second round founders raising from professionals. I think there's just a big difference there, and folks have to understand that when they're going in with that type of approach. If you've never done this, you're just figuring it out. Well, you're gonna give up more day one than if you've done this a few times, you've seen this a few times, and you're talking to a different type of investor. And that's okay. And I hate to say it, it's like sort of doing, you know, like paying your dues a little bit to a certain point. But I can tell you from Alex's and I first company, our second company, we manage the process way differently because it's just, you learn a lot through the actions and the type of investors and how they, what their expectations are of you.
What do you think you did most differently between company one and company two? Like, how did you approach the negotiation with investors differently?
Yeah, I mean, it's still fundamentally still a relationship centric. Both sides were very much so relationship centric. Like our main angel investor, and we never even spent all the money when we were in Cleveland raising our first company. But ultimately, it's just they have a lot more to bring to that table, and they have a lot more control versus, and when it's especially, we had angel investors, which was great, but it's their personal money. And versus going to a professional investment group that's got a thesis, a process, like not much emotional elements around that. They just know how to go get it. And they know that they need to deploy X dollars of capital. Like it's a much more mature process, right? Yeah. It's no different than or a seasoned sourcing individual versus the first sourcing deal they're ever doing. There's going to be a way different than somebody that's been doing it for 10, 15 years.
I mean, fundamentally, the first time we did this, we were college students and we just went with the flow of things. Think of a sourcing process where the category manager is probably relatively new and lower on the maturity curve, and they kind of go in without as much preparation or vision for where things need to end up. Whereas our second go around, we were much more thoughtful and deliberate about our approach to fundraising, and it was tied into how we wanted to build a large standalone company that would go public one day.
So yeah. You give up a lot less day one in the first raise, but then you're going to do substantially more raises to build something substantially bigger.
Calling all multitasking negotiators, I am speaking to you, so listen up. Whether you're listening on your commute or the Peloton or anywhere in between, this is important. Are you looking for ways to increase your procurement productivity and save thousands of dollars? Scout RFP helps to simplify and automate the sourcing process so you can get more done faster. You need to check out Scout RFP at scoutrfp.com/negotiation. I'm going to repeat that. That's scoutrfp.com/negotiation. Stop digging through spreadsheets, emails, and documents for contracts and project information. You are wasting your time and your valuable resources. You need a better tool, and that's Scout. over 190 global brands like Adobe, Biogen, EasyJet, Salesforce, and Zappos trust Scout RFP's automated sourcing and supplier engagement platform. Scout RFP's platform is super easy to use, and most organizations can get up and running in just hours. You need to see for yourself at scoutrfp.com/negotiation. I know Scout. I've used Scout. I trust these guys. Check it out at scoutrfp.com/negotiation. And now back to your show.
And then, yeah, and then to the credit of that, it's also when you define the market and what you want to go after, it's for us is very much so a huge addressable market. There's a lot of companies that could use a product that we sell. And for us, we knew that we would need to have some large backing around that and go to market strategy to be able to get to that. I mean, in theory, there's 20,000 plus companies we can sell into.
Yeah.
In the next few years. We're not going to sell those, to be clear, but it's just the addressable market is very big.
Totally. When I want to key in on the major difference here between like the first company that you guys raised money for versus Scout. And when you're thinking about how you approach the investors, was there a confidence difference now that, I mean, you guys had been through it before, so you sort of knew what to expect. Were you more confident or were you sort of the same because you were dealing with potentially larger investors?
We were way more confident the second time around.
And we were, but I definitely remember like our first Sandhill trip and, you know, getting on that road and we're like looking at each other. It's like, oh, this is where the big boys play. Okay. And, you walk into these meetings, you got like, they put on a front too.
Well, they're trying to pressure you, I'm sure.
Right. So it was a little bit nerve wracking as much as we had confidence. It was still very nerve wracking because like they control much bigger checks than they control it all. And until we did learn a lot very quickly because it only takes one. As soon as one says something, the rest basically jump on the boat.
And it's true. The game was definitely bigger, but what we had the benefit of doing this the second round as opposed to the first time around is we were self-funding the beginning of Scout in the beginning.
Yeah. And
you have the ability to self-fund because of a successful first exit, it just gives you an inherent confidence of if we don't raise that check at this time from this VC, we're going to be fine tomorrow. It just means we're going to pay this on our Amexes for a little bit longer.
And having gone through a successful exit, does that give the investors more confidence in you because you've sort of been through it, you've had a good exit, and everyone was happy, or how did that work out?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, the investment interviews are quite a bit like a job interview when you go in there. So certainly having we've done this before and we'd like to do it again, but bigger conversation does give them a lot more confidence in our abilities. So for sure.
The other part that's really big and really important that is in, you know, there's a lot of ways to get to get an investment, but we were very fortunate that we had a few folks that were able to connect us with some of the folks that we were talking to. Mm-hmm. And personal, like, and we do this for entrepreneurs now today at the same time. But once you get the introduction from somebody that they're comfortable with and they know, that just completely changes the conversation to them because they can back channel. They can get a little bit of, like, they know that somebody that's going to introduce you is not going to waste their time.
Yeah.
And that's a huge piece of it. And we do that for many entrepreneurs now today that Alex and I feel comfortable introducing to VCs that we know.
Definitely.
Cool. Very, very cool. So I want to drive down on the confidence piece just a little bit more. When you guys were on your road trip and you're thinking to yourself, okay, we're playing with the big boys now, we've got to go and do this pitch. We've got to think about how we're going to approach this. How did you stem up the courage to do the presentation well? What were the things that you did to try and give yourself more confidence?
So
did you just do like three shots before the presentation? And
you know what we did that was really effective. And so a couple of things on this. The first one is, I'm just going to go back to the dating analogy for just one second. Like the first time you do anything, you're a wreck.
Right.
So I can't stress enough being, well, one, being very well prepared.
Yeah.
Two, if you're only going to meet, if you have everything riding on one meeting, you're going to be a mess. So yeah, having a bunch of meetings set up is so important. And I would put, somebody gave me this advice is, you know, find the least stressful of the meetings. Like maybe it's somebody who, you know, isn't
going to be a good friend, fit. Investors, anybody that's non-critical.
Yeah. Or maybe like a little bit lower on the list of, you know, because your first time doing anything is not going to be great.
So basically you're structuring your interviews in like practice runs first, serious ones later.
Yeah, effectively, yes. And that'll help you hone your pitch. Also, it's helpful to meet with VCs who you really trust and have established that relationship with before if you can, or at least are incredibly honest. Because the one thing you'll find oftentimes with investors is they don't want to hurt anybody's feelings or jeopardize a subsequent round, so they won't say no or give you real feedback on how bad your pitch was. They'll tell you how great everything was and that they need more time with the space, and that's like a very polite way of them saying they're just not interested at this time.
Got it.
So structure those meetings early. And then one thing that we did is, since we had, by the time we went, we had a product, so we had our early prototype. And Stan and I are not very slick. So, I mean, if you just meet with us, we're not like the you know, super smooth folks. Like, we're just really genuine people. So we were like, you know what? We're not going to like dazzle them with our personalities. Let's just show them our product and tell them about where this is going. And if they're the right investor, they will appreciate it and they will understand and they'll back us. And that was our approach. It really changed, I think, two things. One is investors, the VCs that we were selling to, were so used to just looking at PowerPoint decks.
Yeah.
And we were like, look, we'll send you the PowerPoint deck. You guys have seen enough of these. They all look the same. Let us show you our product because it's different.
Right.
And we showed it to them. And I think that really spoke more volumes. But we spent a lot of time making sure that the product was great before we did that. So I think that helped.
Yeah, so it sounds like you're just trying to be as genuine as you could be in, there was no like flash or anything like that. It's like, this is what it is, guys. Here's the product. This is why the idea is great. And that's the way you presented it.
That's right. Exactly. Stan didn't even have his Greatest Showman outfit on from
You didn't even wear the hat or the...
Not on those.
That's disappointing. Hey, speaking of the hat, you got Spark coming up in February.
That's right.
We do.
For the listeners who don't know, what is Spark?
Yeah, Spark is we started off as just 2 years ago as our user conference. It's a way to let individuals know about what Scout's doing in the marketplace. But really, even in the first year to this year, it's evolved into a much more just one of the best industry events. Where really, we're going to focus on elements of Scout, just a quick business update, some of the innovative things we're doing. But the idea is to bring in just fantastic speakers, not just in the sourcing industry, just motivational speakers, just general market knowledge individuals thinking about macro trends. And in just a different way, because once you work with Scout, you come to realize we just think about the world a little differently. And we think every sourcing organization can be a sales function as well. And so in essence, we're trying to improve individuals. So we have this 2-day event now that we're hosting that will have a whole slew of speakers. And a lot of folks have given us amazing feedback that it's one of the best shows they've had a chance to attend in the industry over the last few years. So for us, the stakes are a little higher this time around. The goal is to have almost 800 individuals this particular year. We've doubled the last 2 years. So we're going to be putting on quite a show, I could say, the greatest show in San Francisco for this particular segment of the industry.
Yeah, I'm pumped. I mean, having been to the first two, I can personally attest, as the listeners are hearing right now, that this is by far one of the best events I have ever been to. Not because of it, it's just so well done. The qualities of speakers were great. The networking time was awesome. The quality of attendee was brilliant. And just the show overall, I think, was really, really good. So kudos to you guys. I don't know how you're going to top last year, but
we're going to try. And for us, our number one value at Scout, and we talk about it every other week with the whole company, and it's on the walls when you come in, first thing you see, it's obsess over the customer. So, and when we get there, what we really try to do is put the customer first in every way.
Awesome.
we try to, you'll see myself, Alex, on stage and the founding team at Scout almost in a minimal amount of time. We're there to give a few core things, get it going. And really it's customers sharing customer stories. Even our product demos are done with customers on stage. It's very much so having, living and breathing our customers and how they interact with their business, with their stakeholders, suppliers, and how Scout's part of that conversation.
Yeah, very cool. Quick segue to a sales side of things. I mean, given the expansion that you guys have had, you've been super successful on the sales side and really successful on implementation and adoption. One of the things that procurement people, I think, struggle with is understanding salespeople. What do you think that procurement people could learn from salespeople when it comes to negotiation and maybe how to create more mutually beneficial agreements?
Definitely. Well, so I will say there's nothing magical that we're going to say here, but this is what we've seen from our perspective and something that we're really passionate about. When we sell to our customers, it's so important that internally we talked about building relationships and being super prepared and professional. That's super important for us. So before we go into a meeting, any kind of interaction, we just work really hard to have everything buttoned up, make it really easy for the customer to understand Scout, understand our product, understand how it would work within their environment, and do as much of the work for them. And to do that and provide a really great experience during the sales process, you have to, it's just a lot of effort. And I think a lot of people underestimate the amount of effort that we as a sales organization put into that. Or any sales organization that's really great puts into that. Now, if you think about it, like for a salesperson, that's their number one job and they don't have that many prospects in general. Now, on the flip side, a person in sourcing, the challenge is they have so much going on at any one time that to put the same level of effort and preparation into every meeting and interaction is very challenging given the constraints on time and how much they're asked to do more and more. So what Scout, and this is a big part of what we found out when we went and spoke to hundreds of people in procurement in the very beginning, is their biggest thing is just, I wish I had more time to do more things better. And so when we looked at the things that we could take off their plate administratively, like the things that computers are frankly very good at, how much of that work we can automate so that they could work, so that they could get the data, analyze the data, and then have real conversations based on the data and the information that they've gotten. So that's the biggest thing, is the more time you can put into preparation, the better. And having productivity tools in place that can automate a lot of the stuff that takes a lot of time but isn't a lot of value add is such a huge difference maker, like yeah. Scout. Yeah.
I think preparation is so undervalued. It's so undervalued in negotiation. It's so undervalued in sales and procurement. And making sure that you have all of the information, the answers to all the questions prior to even going in is so, so important, because not only are you better prepared, obviously, because you know you can negotiate with confidence, right. But also if you're not as prepared and someone asks a question and you may not necessarily, it's okay to say you don't know the answer, but when that happens, it's, you just look unprepared and you look unprofessional. And when that happens, you're losing confidence. They're losing confidence in you. And when that starts to happen, then you start to potentially lose a sale. And I think a lot of procurement people, for the procurement people listening, I think it would be beneficial for us to start thinking of ourselves more like salespeople than procurement people, because we want to start building confidence in the people that are selling to us as well, right? Because they need to come out of this having a good user experience. And even internally with our own stakeholders, we're more salespeople than we are procurement people. So having that preparation done ahead of time is so, so important.
And I think a big part of that is something called polish, which you only get through hard work and preparation. And when you come in and the presentation is polished and it's confident and it's clear that you put in a lot of time and effort to make it a tailored, whatever kind of presentation it is, whether it's on the sales side or whether it's on the buying side, It shows whoever is on the other side of the table, one, respect, but two, that you've put in a lot of preparation into this and are treating this very seriously. And so much of negotiations is how much time you spend preparing for them.
Yeah. Very, very cool. Guys, as we close off, a couple of things. Where can people find you online?
So we, as you kind of alluded to, we are everywhere. But the two biggest places, one is certainly our website, so scoutrfp.com. And then the other one is on LinkedIn. We post a lot on LinkedIn, but you could also find us on Twitter, on Facebook. I mean,
if you follow us on LinkedIn. And then at the same time, just link in with Alex and myself too. If you want to start a conversation, anything we can help with,
definitely.
Don't hesitate to just ping us on LinkedIn. That's the easiest way.
I think that's the thing that I like most about you guys is that you're available. So if people are interested in the product or even interested in talking about VC stuff, you guys are available to talk. And I think that's super, super important from a bunch of founders. So I sincerely appreciate that. For the listeners who are listening right now, just so that you're aware, full disclosure, I do not have an equity position in Scout, although I wish I did. It would be amazing. And I want you to know that I endorse this product. I think it's fantastic. If you've got an opportunity to come out to Spark in February in San Francisco, I highly recommend that you do. It will be one of the best procurement events you ever go to. I will be there. So ping me if you need to get information on that, or Stan or Alex or anyone at Scout, and they'll be able to get you that information. Guys, as we close off, thank you so much for sharing your information about raising money and being founders and what that process looks like. It's a great help for all the people that are listening here. So I really, really appreciate your time.
It was our pleasure.
Thanks,
and thank you for doing what you're doing in the industry too. I mean, you're spreading the word on so many good ways and thank you to the industry in general, because Alex and I were new to this space when we got in 5 years ago, and we're just in love with this industry and the people around it. When we say obsessed over the customer, like we sort of jokingly say, like our customers go to great lengths to even help us out. So it's a great, great industry.
It totally is. Awesome. Well, thanks guys, and have a great day.
You too.
Thank you, Mark.
Hey, friends. Thanks so much for listening to this episode. If you enjoyed it, please share it with friends and colleagues so that they can benefit from it as well. If you find Negotiations Ninja Podcast worthy, please go on to iTunes and give us a cool rating with a nice review. We certainly appreciate every single one that we get because it helps us to understand who is listening, how they're listening, and what it is they like. If there's something that you would like me to discuss around negotiation, influence, or persuasion, give me a shout. You know how to reach me on social media, or you can get me on my website, which is www.negotiations.ninja.